has Jennings Chevrolet been in business for 57 years? Jennings delivers what other dealers only promise. On Waukegan Road in Glenview or at JenningsChevrolet.com. Find new roads. Jennings reputation.
The National Sports Collectors Convention, the world's largest sports and entertainment show, is returning to Chicago, open to the public. Over 45,000 sports fans and collectors will converge in the Stevens Convention Center August 2nd, with over 100 superstar athletes appearing, including Frank Thomas, Mike Tyson, Jimmy Connors, Hulk Hogan, Bobby Hull, Greg Maddux, and Emmitt Smith, to name just a few. Visit nsccshow.com for more information. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime experience. If the Chicago White Sox throw a no-hitter on August 14th, 15th, or 16th, you might win $25,000 in the Southside No-Hitter Contest. Presented by U.S. Bank. Go to SouthsideNoHitter.com to register for your chance to win $25,000. Should the White Sox throw a no-hitter against the Northsiders in August, register for your chance to win $25,000 at SouthsideNoHitter.com. U.S. Bank is as passionate about banking as you are about baseball. See website for official rules. U.S. Bank. Member FDIC.
Chicago's original sports talk station. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
It's Score Update Studio. I'm Julie DeCaro. The White Sox are listening to offers for Jeff Samardzija, according to Fox Sports' Ken Rosenthal. Rosenthal says while the Sox expect Samardzija to test free agency, they have no intention of tearing anything down and rebuilding, saying this current team wasn't assembled just for 2015. White Sox have the day off today. They'll welcome the Cardinals to the Sal tomorrow. The Cubs, meanwhile, could be interested in adding another bat to their lineup. Peter Gammon says the Cubs are among teams interested in acquiring Ben Zobrist from the A's. Cubs open a four-game series against the Reds tonight in Cincinnati. Kyle Schwarber gets the start behind the plate. He should see plenty of playing time this series. Clayton Richard takes on Michael Lorenzen tonight at 6:10. Bad news for the Pirates as they attempt to hold on to the first wild card spot in the National League. Shortstop Jordy Mercer has a sprained knee. He's out for as long as 6 weeks. And Bryce Harper is firing shots at the Dodgers' Zach Greinke. Harper told the Washington Post that Greinke got help from the umpires in his start yesterday against the Nats. Harper also said he didn't find Greinke's stuff to be all that good. 2015 British Open is in the books, and American Zach Johnson survived a playoff against Mark Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen to take the claret jug. Jordan Spieth finished just one shot out of the playoffs, ending his bid to win his third major in a row. In soccer, the semifinals are set for the CONCACAF Gold Cup. The U.S. will play Jamaica on Wednesday, while Mexico will take on Panama. And Alex Morgan and Lionel Messi will be featured on the cover of EA Sports FIFA 16. Finally, in the NFL, the Packers reported their financials for the fiscal year 2014 today, and those financials revealed that they received $226.4 million from the league as part of national revenue sharing. Most of that money came from television deals. The Scoreboard Update is brought to you by ChicagoFootball.com, your hub for Bears coverage. Visit your local Shelby's and Stella's place and enter to win a spot in the Golden Ticket Finale, where you could win $20,000 in tickets from Vivid Seats to live out your sports dream. Brought to you by Shelby's and Stella's Place, your premium place to play slots and video poker. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on The Score is tomorrow at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Cardinals on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Woodfield Nissan, the Midwest's number one Nissan volume dealer.
Boers and Bernstein, afternoons on The Score.
Because I don't know if you saw that there was a young man who likes to show children exotic animals who was killed by his pet cobra.
You've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
He's been snake bit.
You know, let me tell you something. That's just a rough pet.
The monocled cobra?
Yeah, that's a rough pet.
Yeah, I love it. I love my little naughty pet. You're naughty.
I don't know if that's a pet.
It's not a pet.
Not a pet.
It's a wild, venomous animal.
Yeah, who really doesn't give a rat's ass for you.
Cobras! Put it this way. I would prefer to own a cat and get that toxoplasmosis disease that makes you crazy and stupid and weird and all that.
Is that what happens to George?
Yes. It happens to everybody who owns a cat.
Meow, meow.
Whoa. Schuster got cats?
I'm sure. That explains it, right?
And then literally, the roof just caved in.
A monocled cobra.
Aw, isn't that adorable? It's so cute.
Isn't that adorable?
Cobra! Attack!
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Ah! Cobras! Cobras!
Ah! Boers and Bernstein.
Quit yelling.
Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Yeah, we do the other news for sure that Boris and Bernstein, before we get to the Royals blogger, that George does indeed have that cat thing you spoke of.
Oh, the toxoplasmosis?
Yeah, we've decided that there's no way he doesn't, and we believe Schuster does too, even if he doesn't have cats. You got Boris and Bernstein's.
He got it from George's cats. He got George. Just hanging around George. He also got toxoplasmosis.
And during the course of the weekend, if you're just jumping in, we had an angry Ed Farmer.
Yeah, we did.
Woo,
we sure
I like
did.
The angry
well,
Ed Farmer.
Well, you know, there's been a response to that now. And this is the SB Nation Royals blog, known as the Royals Review. And the author is Don't Fear Max Reaper. And the headline is White Sox announcer Ed Farmer is not a fan of the Royals. Ed Farmer has a history with the Royals. As a pitcher with the Rangers in 1979, Farmer hit Royals outfielder Al Collins in the face with a pitch, fracturing his jaw.
I remember that. Yep.
Collins would miss 3 weeks of action. In the same game, Farmer struck Royals second baseman Frank White with a pitch, fracturing his wrist. White would miss a month. Through a jaw wired shut, Collins would say, "It's part of baseball, brushing somebody back, but nobody's that wild." So perhaps Ed Farmer has a long-standing enmity towards the Royals franchise, because as an announcer for the White Sox, he sure did not care for the current boys in blue. In the eighth inning, when Paolo Orlando was trying to move Jared Dyson over on a bunt, Farmer opined that throwing at Orlando might be a good counter strategy.
My thing is this: if he scores around the bunt and you think Dyson's running, you throw it right at Paolo Orlando. Right. You throw it right at him.
After Lorenzo Cain hit his game-winning home run in the 13th inning and looked into the Royals' dugout in celebration, Farmer had this to say.
Some of the calls they've made have made it to this inning. The 1-1, a swing and a long one left. It is 7-6 now as Cain hits a home run and looking in the dugout. That right there, if I'm on the mound, he comes up the next time, he's going to be looking at the sky.
Farmer continued his lecture on playing the game the right way after Eric Hosmer lined out.
There's no celebration there by Hosmer. He's out.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. You hit extra inning home runs. Everybody on your team celebrating because
I have no problem with celebration when you go in the dugout because you've done something. When you walk or run halfway to first base and you look in there like I've done something great,
yeah,
make me believe you've hit a home run before in your big league career. Just make me believe that so you're used to it.
When Farmer took Frank White out for a month, Frank White said, "People talk about knocking guys down, but after seeing what's happened tonight, it's not funny at all. It's frightening."
Oh.
Years later, Collins, as a member of the Tigers, would face Farmer, then with the White Sox. Collins had not forgotten about what had happened. On a routine grounder, Collins ran straight for the pitcher's mound.
He did, yep.
Collins landed a few punches, even ripping Farmer's nostrils in a bench-clearing brawl.
Yep.
The brawl was so violent, it led to charges being filed, potentially preventing Collins from returning to Chicago until Farmer agreed to drop the charges in exchange for an apology. But perhaps that's the kind of violence Farmer's looking for to enforce the no-fun rules of baseball. The Royals are a first-place team that likes to have fun with each other. But that clearly violates the unwritten rules on how to play the game. And fortunately, we have Ed Farmer here to tell it how it is. Yeah, but that's a little history lesson.
You know, yeah, I knew. Yeah, he like a kite for him right after him. He flared his nostrils. You know, here's the thing, too. I'll say this. I've always liked Farmio for years, but he lived it. It isn't like he's just saying it now. You know what I mean? You can look at stuff like we're talking about here, and it isn't like he's recommending you do it just because, he did it. It's not like, you know, when he's talking about you're going to be looking at the sky, he's done that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly, you know? So I, whatever.
Max and Evan
still amuses
me. On the score. Hi, Max.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I've been listening in a lot of conversation regarding Dave Ross, Cal Schwarber. Is obviously David Ross' defensive metrics and what he's able to do defensively is what puts him on the field, and obviously what Kyle Schwarber can do offensively puts him on the field. So I guess I was wondering, in the context of WAR, how do those metrics counterbalance? Basically, what I'm asking is, if David Ross is dominant defensively and Schwarber's dominant offensively, which would you rather have in there at catcher? I mean, is Schwarber a good enough hitter that he's not too much of a detriment defensively?
Yeah, you see, war with catchers is weird. There are different calculations, and I would need somebody who understands the actual calculation to speak to that better than I. It's a great question, but I think Fangraphs they tried to standardize what that replacement level player was, but positional war, the defensive metrics used, I don't think are like other positions in Fangraphs wins above replacement when it comes to catchers. There's something different about the way it's calculated, and I don't feel comfortable guessing to answer your question. I'm sorry I can't answer it to satisfactory fashion here, but I would need somebody who actually knew more about whether they're using UZR or how they're using it. I know there's something different about catcher defense calculation in that particular number.
I think with a catcher, you'll be able to see it. I mean, maybe not everything will hit you right away, but if you watch him, it'll occur to you. And you'll certainly see what he does at the plate. I mean, there's a chance that it's a wash. But I mean, if he's throwing, he made two errors the other night when he caught. Okay, two errors are two errors. That's not going to help. He had three hits and two errors. And everybody said, whoa, who cares about the errors? He had three hits. Well, maybe. But I'm talking about more of a pitch-to-pitch thing with a catcher than I'm worried about a bad throw. Everybody makes a bad throw. You can all do that. I'm more worried about other parts of the craft than I am about those errors. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying, well, I expect every time there's a guy running the second, then he won't be able to throw it. No, that's not what I'm saying.